We left off on Chavdal Beis. We just barely started the line to go to the mission. So we'll just go back for a moment to put ourselves into the swing of things. On Chavdal Beis. So the first one is the Ein Breira. It's almost about two-thirds down. So Kosovo Garish Nakadola Garish Masakana. The person wrote a get to divorce the older of his two wives, and then decides to use it instead to divorce the younger of the two, the same names. So the Mishnah told us that it's not acceptable because it wasn't written in the Shema. So where's the day? He cannot use it to divorce the younger one because it wasn't written for her. Hagadola Matsu Garish Bay. The implication of the Mishnah is obvious. The implication of the Mishnah is obvious that he can use it to divorce the older of the two. So now it comes out a strange thing that here a get has been given, and she's going to be walking around town 20 years from now showing that she has a get. And we know full well there's another person in town, i.e., the other wife, who has the exact same name. The husband is the same guy. So this is really a potential confusion in terms of shtaros. Can you have such a situation where we know for a fact there are two people with the same name? And one person is going to walk around waving his shtar and collecting money and getting out of a marriage based on that. So the one says, yeah, you can do that. I'm a Rabbi Zelsa marriage. And here we derive, Shnei Yosef and Shimon Adar B'Yerachas, Motzin Shtar Chobal Acherim. If there are two people with the same name, Yosef and Shimon, in the same city, either one of them can take a document out and say to Reuven, you owe me money. And Reuven has no right to say, well, I don't owe you money. I owe the other Yosef and Shimon money. No, it's not true. That whoever's holding onto the shtar, we assume that that is the authentic shtar. So that's what we left off with the previous year. The Gemara had questions. If that's true what you're saying, that we're okay with two shtars, oh, so with one shtar from two people in the same town, Reisha Diktani, in the first case of the Mishnah, where it says Shmi Kishimcha, possible with the Irish bro, where here you have two husbands, and husband number one authorized the get. Husband number two says, oh, by golly, that's a great get. Let me use that get. So the Mishnah says, possible with the Irish bro. So the second husband, who it was not written for, cannot use it. Shemi the Lomotsi the Irish bro. So he can't use it. Harisha Motsi the Irish bro. That the first one would be able to use it. Everybody agrees that if she's walking around with a get, and she's going to come to her husband and say, you divorced me, he has a right to say, I didn't divorce you, but the other Yosef and Shimon in town. So to be motzi yishtachov against somebody else, knowing full well that the two guys are going to say, I'm going to walk to the basement and say, you Yosef and Shimon owe me $10,000. You're going to say, I'm not the only one who's been down. The other guy owes you $10,000. So obviously there's something missing in the mission. Obviously there's some point the mission we're not aware of. So what says, you're right, Labai Sachonema. Obviously what the mission is talking about is as follows, that there must be aid de Mesira. No one's going to use this get to prove anything later. This get is not good as a proof. I didn't say it's not a good get. We spoke about this a lot. That a get serves two purposes. It wears two hats. It's a shtar kinyan, and it creates the gerushin, and it also usually will serve as a rye, as a proof later on. But you can split between the two. You can have a get that's good as a get, but it's lacking, it's deficient in terms of its kocht and serve as a rye. So it says the Gemara, this get is going to be good because they're going to be eight divisimah there, and this is Rabbi Elazar, and it's following the view of Rabbi Elazar, but it's not going to be able to be used as a proof later. So to both cases in the Mishnah, are not proofs anything about two Yosef and Shimon in town. This is unique because there must be Eidim Asira present. So now we go back to the real thrust of the Mishnah was, the Mishnah came to teach us the halacha of Shalom L'Shma. The get is written Shalom L'Shma's puzzle. And the Mishnah gave us four different examples of Shalom L'Shma. It gave us the example of, in a certain sense, the worst example, where the sofer were just practicing. So it wasn't even written as a get altogether. Then we had a second case where it's written for the wrong husband. Then we had a third case where it's for the right husband, wrong wife. And then we had the fourth case where right husband, right wife in theory, but it wasn't clear at the time of the writing who was being written for. He authorized the get to be written to whichever one he decided. Next week we'll decide who wants a divorce. So that was also not considered to be Lishma. So there was a progression in cases in terms of the lack of Lishma. But if you would just read the Mishnah, you get the impression they're all puzzles. They're all equally puzzles. So it comes across as not so simple. They're not all on equal footing. So Amar Rav. Kulan posted the kahuna chutzpin harishon. There is a halacha tucked away at the end of the Masechta where it's called the Reach HaGet. Like it smells a little bit like a get. You can have a get that technically is puzzle, but the psul is not blatant. It's not an absolute outright psul. It can't be used. No question about it. The get is not acceptable. It's not acceptable even with the raisa, but it smacks the get a little bit. It smells like a get. It tastes a little bit of a get. It's called a reach get. What's the significance of a reach get? A reach get disqualifies the woman to remain married to the Kohen. So let's say if a Kohen divorces his wife in a manner that the get is not absolutely 1,000,000% dvar b'talim, is what's called the reach get to it, even though it can't be used to permit her to remarry. But it will pose a problem. She can no longer remain with her husband, the Kohen. That's called the Reach HaGet. There's a big question to be shown of whether that concept is deraisa, derabanan. That's a single in the ninth pair. So here the Gemara is developing the details of Reach HaGet. And Rav is telling us that all the cases in the Mishnah, all possible kahuna, namely, even though the get is not acceptable, she cannot get married with any of these gittin, but three out of the four cases do have Reach HaGet problems to them. Because they were a little bit written lishma. They were in a little bit, a teeny drop, they were written lishma. Not really, it's not enough for the get to be kosher. The only case, which is literally dvar b'talim, which is not worth the paper that's written on entirely, is the first case. The first case, so from practicing ready a get, that's b'chalal, not even the ballpark of being written lishma. And therefore, that kind of a get doesn't disqualify. So again, so Amar Rav, Kulan posted the Guna, all the case 2, 3, and 4 do disqualify her to remain married to the Kohen. Except for the first case. And Shmuel says, even the first case, as bad as the first case sounds, it still has the ability to disqualify her to the Kohen. But as the Shmuel went, according to his understanding, to Amar Shmuel, whenever Chazal used the phrase get puzzle, that means puzzle uposel. I mean, it's no good. You can't get married based on that get. I mean, at Torah, it's quite possible you can't get married based on that get. But it's still called the Dabra Posel Kohen. It still disqualifies her to a Kohen. If Chazal want to tell you that the get is worthless, they'll say Eino Get, they'll say Botel, they'll say words, which are much, much stronger in nature. The word Posel is it's not good, but it's not nothing either. And therefore, it's called the Reach HaGet. And then part of that same picture that Shmuel said, you can have a concept in Halacha that it's possible to affect the heter that we wanted to do, but you still have to reckon with it. You have a parallel Halacha by Chalitz as well. Chalitza psula psula uposlos bin achin. There is a halacha that once a woman does a chalitza, once she does a kosher chalitza, the husband died, no children, now she does a chalitza. Once she does chalitza to one of the brothers, she becomes a sewer to marry that brother in the future. She becomes a sewer to marry any of the other brothers in the future as well. She's not technically an eshes ach anymore. The prohibition of marrying your brother's wife disappeared once she fell. Machlokes we showed exactly what point was mafkia that is eshes ach. Either the moment when she fell for the chalitza or the moment that she did the chalitza, that's a technical question, the first part of Yavamas. But Lamaisa, once chalitza happens, she's not an eshezach anymore, but she's still a surah, what's called Kevin Shulabana Shuvla Yivna. The Torah says in Pashkin Seitzei that after chalitza is done, so we all get up and read the pasuk together. This is what happens to the man who doesn't build his brother's home, doesn't do yibum. So the word Bona is not written Bona, it's written in the future. Kashelo Yivna is based off it. Like Az Yosha Moshe, it's in the Lashon Asir. So Ashelo Yivna means he's never going to build it again, and he's not allowed to build it again. And if he goes ahead and he tries to build it again, he tries to marry her after Chalitza, that's an Isser of Kevin Shalabana Shalal Yivna. According to most Rishon, that's an outright Isser Derais. The Rav is a very unique sheikh. The Rav claims it's a Machlokes, maybe it's only Derabana, but when the Rub to Rishonim, it's a real bona fide Isser Derais. And therefore, we have a similar principle, almost like a Recha Chalitza. You have what's called a Chalitza Psula. Now, the Chalitza that was done, that wasn't perfect, it's lacking, and it can't permit her to remarry. On the other hand, it's called enough for Chalitza to create the Isra Ala Achid, Poslos Ala Achid. So Shmuel said that anytime you see the word get puzzle, you know it's that funny case of can't be matter, but creates a problem. When you see that funny phrase of Chalitza Psula, you know the same Allah is true as well. Psula Poslos Ala Achid. The Marava Amri in Israel, in the West, they also had this idea of Chalitza Psula, but not quite the same. They used to say, Mishmei the Rabbi Elazar, small Belayla Psula Suposlos, Katan Van Pilya, the Dabbuk Rabbi Elazar, Psula Suain Poslos. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Tamid of Rabbi Elazar, the Tamid of Rabbi Yochanan, so they had a different understanding of when we apply this rule of Chalitza Psula to disqualify her to all the other brothers. Not always. It depends just how intrinsically bad the chalitza was. So Rabbi Elazar gives four examples of bad chalitzas. Some of them are so bad, are so meaningless that they don't even create an iser ala achim, and others of them do. Which are the two good ones or the two bad ones? Yeah, they're all psulos, but which are really, really off? So Rabbi Elazar said, if she does chalitza with the wrong foot, chalitza with the left foot, so that's the problem. The Mishnah says that that's not acceptable. The Gemara learns that from Pesukim. You have to use dafka the right foot. when they do a chalitza, so they want to make sure that the person is a right-footed person. The person is a left-footed person, left-handed person. So the person, let's say, uses his left foot more than his right foot. So then there's a big machlekes. We've shown him, do you do chalitza with the left foot, like tefillin, or do you put it on the right foot? Do both? There's a whole machlekes. But before they do a chalitza, they try to make sure that the person is really right-footed. So they ask him to do something. So one of the chalitzas that I saw once, they tell the guy, go over to the side, to the garbage can, kick the garbage can. So instinctively, a person will kick it with his strong with his two feet. That's the football motion of it. The guy's right-footed placing, a right-footed punter, so he's going to kick with his right foot. He's got left foot, he's going to kick with his left foot. So to me, that's important in halacha to know whether the guy's a right-footed person or a left-footed person. So if he goes ahead and does chalitza with the wrong foot, so Rabbi Elazar said that it's not good that chalitza is psula, but Torah is psula, but it looks like chalitza a little bit, right foot, left foot. It looks too close for comfort, and therefore it's called the chalitza psula, which passes on to the other brothers. Or the laila, if you do a chalitza at night, so then the chalitza is technically not acceptable, but it still resembles a chalitza. It's not like a nothing, and therefore psula is supposed to. So the chalitza is not acceptable. She'd have to do another one, but you can't decide a week later enough to get chalitza to yibum because of the issue of kemish laban has now kicked, no pun intended, literally has kicked it. So the top of hem and aleph, katan ben pilya. However, the other two examples of disqualified chalitzas, which are so bad, one is you do a chalitza with a kid under the age of a mitzvah. So the other Torah says, im lo yach potza ish proper katan, anything. We all know a katan does something, it's a dvar b'teilim. So when a katan does it, it doesn't register at all. Or ben pilya. If she does chalitza with on a shoe, on a sock, like a garment on the foot or something, a cloth on the foot, on the sock, that's not a chalitza. The Torah says mechotzer na'ol me'aragol. It's not a shoe, so that's not considered to be enough to even create a psul. So even within these halachas of get psul that passes on the kahuna or chalitza psul that passes on to the brothers, it's very, very nuanced to figure out at what point do we say it's dvar b'teilim and this issue doesn't apply. At what point do we say it walks this tightrope, no good, but still poses a problem. Now the Gemara continues on the top of Chavim and Alv. Ze'iri Amar, Kula Ein Poslim, Chutz Ben Achra. Ze'iri said that none of these gittin are a problem. It means they're all psulos. Means they're all so bad that none of them pose a problem to the Kohen, because at the end of the day, they weren't written the Shema. The only one that was a concern, maybe it's a shtickl get, is the very last case. What was the last case? That the Reuven, the husband, authorizes the Sofer to write a get. He just hasn't decided yet which wife to divorce. So he says, Mr. Sofer, write me the get, which I have two wives, both David and Rochel. I'll decide next week which one I want to give the get to. So the Mishnah says that's not acceptable. That's what's called Breira, Ein Breira. You can designate something retroactively. We'll see hopefully a lot about Braver that is coming daf itself. So you cannot designate something retroactively. So Ze'iri said that halacha that you can't designate something retroactively is a big, big machlok, a big suffix. We're not sure that it is. And therefore, we're not going to accept this get as being kosher mishpa. On the other hand, the chumra, as Rashi says, we're going to have to say yesh Braver. We're going to have to say that at least the chumra, maybe the get is good. So in the fourth case, the Mishnah says, le'ezah she'eretze adarish, it's not b'teres vade, it's no good b'teres suffix. If it's not good b'teres suffix, and that creates a suffix, it's to the Kohen. So if he happens to be a Kohen, he got himself into a big pickle because he gave a get to his wife, it's no good, so she can't remarry. On the other hand, she can't remarry to him either because the get may have been actually acceptable.
Neither of them.
Huh?
Neither of the wives.
No, the wife is that the get was written for. Right. It wasn't written lishma for either one. Right. Correct. Right. So v'chein,
what? He can't give it to them.
He doesn't.
He gave it to the son.
Yeah. So he can remain married with one he never gave it to. Yeah.
I know which one he never gave it to. I was like, he gave it to one of them.
Yeah, he gave it to one of them. But the time it was written al Breira, right? It was written with a retroactive tonight, right?
And then he gave it to one.
So the one he didn't give it to.
It's the disqualify both of them from marriage to stay with him because no. maybe it was any braver than it could have been either of them.
No, but he never gave it to the other one. If he writes again to his wife, so he never gave it to her, so she's not divorced. That's nothing.
So in this case, it's talking about it's always going through the whole action.
Yeah. The Shaman, again, the Masechta says that even Ksivas again be possible. We don't believe possible. V'chein Amar Ravasi Kulon Ein Posim Chutz Me'achor. Ravasi said the same thing. The only get that even poses a challenge to the Kohen is the last one. For Rabbi Yochanan says, Ne'af Achor Nami Ein Posel. Even the last one is not a problem. You know why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is 1,000% convinced that Ein Barera. That principle that you can't designate something retroactively is not a Chumra, is not a Sufik, is not a Shaila. It's just not true. It doesn't work. And therefore, country of Yochanan, that get, even in the fourth case, which is the biggest chiddush of all four cases, is absolutely possible in a Torah, Elisha of Suffolk, and therefore it doesn't even pass it.
We don't pass him over.
Well, maybe the little letters were
Rabbi Yochanan. Right, that's what I'm saying. So if we pass him over, Rabbi Yochanan says, I ain't brave, so if it's a Kohen, it's not a problem.
Right. That's it. Right, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Right. Rabbi Yochanan says that even the fourth case would not pass it. Says the Gemara, Azar Rabbi Yochanan Tameh. This is not the only context where Rabbi Yochanan made this all-inclusive statement that ain't Breira. The Amar B'Yasa Rabbi Yochanan, the principle of Breira is something which goes way beyond the Sugya in the sense. It's something that touches in all areas of Allah, including the following. The Amar B'Yasa Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'achin Shacholku L'kuchosein Amazirin Zolazeb Yochanan. A totally different area of Allah as follows. And we know the Torah tells us that Reuben buys a field from Shimon, his mancha, Yovel Noe. So when Yovel comes, so the field goes back. It's the pasha. Your pasha is behind. The Gemara has the following shadow. What if, say, Reuben dies and he leaves a whole bunch of fields in his whole state to his sons? So Shimon gets a field, Levi gets a field, Yuda gets a field, Bad and Moshe, and five different fields. All the brothers get fields. So how do we view these fields? Do we say that when Reuben died, so he left his entire estate, and we don't really know who was entitled to which field? It wasn't that this field has Shimon's name written on it from day one, and this is later. It belonged to this conglomerate, this whole entity called Savayas, the estate. And now, Shimon wants his own field, Levi wants his own field, so they decide to swap fields. So Shimon said, listen, I'll trade you. I'll take this field over here. You can have that field. I'll take that apartment. You take that house. Everyone does whatever they want. They try to make the division peacefully. So comes to the end and says, if you think about it, what really is happening is people are buying and selling, they're swapping fields from one another. If they're swapping fields from one another, then the bits of Yovel applies. So when 50 years later, when Yovel comes, so Shimon's got to give back his field back to the other brothers, and the other brothers got to give back the shit. Everyone's got to give back and start them all over again, because that's the bits of Torah of Machzirin Zolot of Yovel. So Rabbi Yochanan said, that's the bit. But Achit Shechoku, when brothers divide up, we view them as basically being purchases from one another, and they have to divide it and have to return it back in Yoga. Who would disagree with this? So the one says as follows: what if you hold Yesh Breira? What Yesh Breira means is that retroactively we can designate things to be true. So when Reuben dies and he leaves behind five fields, we can say when Shimon takes the field that he wants, and Levi takes his field, and Judah takes his apartment, Igloi Milsalam Afreya, turns out retroactively, this was really Shimon's all along, and this was really Levi's all along, this is really Yehuda's all along, and there never was the swap, there never was Lekuchos Zabizeh. If there never was a swap, if there never was a trading, there was never a purchase back and forth, and there's no mitzvah Yovel. I have a field for the last 10,000 years. My field, your field is your field. The only time there's a mitzvah of Yovel is when there was a Lekuchos Zemizeh. So Rabbi Yochanan said that when brothers split up, they're treated like the Lekuchos, and they have to return to each other at Yovel. That is tantamount to saying that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't accept Breira, which is exactly what he said over here. So the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, Lashitosam, even though they're in two very, very different applications, areas of Halacha, but the underlying principle is identical. And in both cases, Rabbi Yochanan is ignoring Breira. He doesn't accept Breira, and therefore he holds even the last get in that Mishnah is meaningless and worthless and doesn't even impact the Kohen. And in the Sugya of Yovel, he also doesn't accept Breira, and therefore requires of the brothers to return one to another. So the question is a tricha. We actually needed both of these statements, Rabbi Yochanan. Even though after thinking long enough, we realized that they're really saying the same thing, we wouldn't have figured that out right away. Why? The Eid Babaha. If we would have just had Rabbi Yochanan's statement and get in, I would have thought, how come Rabbi Yochanan? Here Rabbi Yochanan said, Debreira, Shun Debaina Lo Lishma. Because here the Torah says, you need law, it's got to be because of law, Lishma. It's got to be 100, 1,000% Lishma. None of these monkey business of Breira is going to do the trick. Aval Hossam over the year, in the case of the Yovel, Necheru the Amrachman led the Yovel, that the Torah said that you have to return sales of a Yerusha Matan alone. Come on, this is not a Machira, give me a break. No, nobody bought anything. This is a Yerusha, this is the Matana. This is not subject to the parasha of Yovel. So if just because we would have had the statement of Rabbi Yochanan about Gittin, Lav Dafka would have said it over there. Yesh, we didn't saw that. And Rabbi Yochanan would have just told us that there's no Breira by Fields. I would have said that's a Chumrah. Rabbi Yochanan was worried there's a mitzvah deraisa of returning the fields. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan's playing it safe and saying, you know what, return it me suffering. I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure what it is. And therefore, return it L'chumra. Whereas over here, Rabbi Yochanan's not going to say, even L'kula, Ein Breira, and you can remain married to the Kohen. So just because Rabbi Yochanan would have said one case, I wouldn't have figured out the other. Inami. Kitchila, Avalachem Elot, Tzricho. Or maybe they would have said, the reason why you have to return the fields to one another is a different part. That it's nothing really to do with the halachic principle of Breira. It has to do with the Torah wants you to go back in time. That's the mitzvah of Yovel. To go back to the original, what the original status was. So 30 years, it was kind of a group of fields together. It was all the estate. So maybe the mitzvah of Yovel says, go back to where you were. Start all over again. Don't get into the lumdus, the nitty-gritty, yeah, Breira, yeah, Breira. Maybe, yes, Breira, maybe, yeah, Breira. I don't know what the answer is to that question. But in terms of Yovel, maybe you still have to do it. So I would have thought I cannot extrapolate from the Yovel to the Gittin Tzricha. Bottom line is, all those dichuim are not correct. Rabbi Yochanan stick to his position. Ein breyer b'taris vada, says Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore there's no concern in terms of the get, and therefore there is an absolute Torah concern to return to the fields.
Can you explain Yovel again how breyer would work?
If you hold the yesh breyer, so what it basically means is when Reuben dies, so it's understood that this is Shimon's field, this is Levi's field, even though at the time they died, we didn't know that. But in a month from now, when they sit around with the lawyers and divide up the property, Yvoid knows of Afreya, it turns out retroactively, each field belongs to the right person. That's an application of Breira. If you hold that, the halacha doesn't recognize this concept of retroactive designation, so then I can't say this was Levi, this was Shimon. It wasn't. It was everybody's field. And how did we divide up the field? It must be we all sold each other out. We bought out each other's rights. So once we bought out, I bought out my rights, your rights out of your field, and you bought out of my field, etc. If that's what's going on, that's a Yovel parsha. Then you require a Yovel.
But let's say there's a will, and then he does meet it. Then
will. Way too complicated. The will's for Bekir Shiach Thursday morning. So we'll leave it at that.
Because it doesn't seem parallel. The case of Breyer really doesn't follow by Yovel. Doesn't seem to follow the criteria. Like I wouldn't. I mean,
well, the idea of Breyer means that at the moment in time right now, at 6:44 on Thursday morning, we don't know the information. It's not been has not yet been designated what the facts are on the ground. In an hour from now, we're going to find out what we're going to designate things properly. Do we have a right to go back retroactively? So the case again.
So it's not a case of Yovel. It says that whenever you don't know the mitzvah, you're going back to the previous status. You would say that's
Yeshbir means that we can determine facts later and designate things retroactively.
So it's not just by Yovel.
It's not Yovel, right? So now I think we're starting over again. So Bobby there, Rav Oshia ber Rav Yehuda. Rav Oshia posed the question to Rav Yehuda as follows. Omer lo lavda. Lavda is a synonym for a sefer. The person says for a sefer. Ksov le'ezo shetete bepesach tchila. So write a get to whichever woman comes out the door. It's like yiftach. Whichever didn't have a happy ending. Whichever woman comes out, whichever my two wives comes out the door first, she's going to be the one. Mahu. So what's the din? Now notice this is a nuance different from the case of the Mishnah. In the case of the Mishnah, he told the sefer to write a get, which one I will decide later. So he put himself in the driver's seat. Over here, he's been what we call Tola B'das Acherim. So that may change some of the pieces of the puzzle that he's asking himself in the right again for whichever one will be decided. I'm not going to control him. But at the time that he wrote, he hasn't come out the door yet.
Same name.
Don't get another point. Right. So here's the problem. The problem is that this is either better or worse. Because he's what's called Tolbet Asachayim. So Ksoleh shared some b'vesu b'tchilamahu. So what's the din? So Amalei. So he responded. Rabbi Yehuda responded to Nisum. Look at the Mishnah. Yes, to be kind. Amalei Avla Ksoleh Ezel she'eretz garish posel garish bro. So Rav Yehuda ignored that distinction. He said, "What kind of silly question is it? It's a Mishnah. A Mishnah says that's no good." So Alba ain't Breira. So you see, for me, that there's no Breira. So comes the Gemara, and now records the next part of the conversation. Rav Hoshea now posed the challenge. Eisver. As we said before, Breira is not limited to Gittin. Ha'omel Labonov, a person says to his sons, Hareini Shoichet is a Pesach, Amishyal Mikem Rishon Mishalayim. There is a halacha that if you want to be part of a group for Korban Pesach, you have to sign up beforehand. You can't, you know, pop in at the, after the Pesach is shechted already. So here, a father's getting ready, and he's getting ready to start shechting the Korban Pesach, and he sends his men, calls his sons in Tel Aviv, and he says, you know, guys, get here quickly. He said, the first one to get here, he can be part of my Korban Pesach. So he shechs the Korban Pesach, not knowing which of the sons is going to come up first. And now that one son eventually pops in first, so all of a sudden he becomes part of the Korban Pesach. So that's what the Mishnah says. Kevan shenichnas rishon rosh ha'rubo. Once the first one's most, his head and his body get into the season, so I'm sure race to the finish line. So this one pulls into I'm not sure what the line is. This guy rolls into the rover, that guy rolls into the rover. So zocha mechelko. So he is zocha at his chelek. And now he schleps his brothers along also. So his brothers also get a chelek. So the Gemara's going to question, so what happened to the race? What happened to the incentive? It's like today, you know, I remember when I was a kid, so when we played Little League, if you won, you won. That's it. You got a trophy. You didn't win. There was no runner right there. In today's world, we don't want the kids to get, you know, feel better. Everybody, the team lost all 18 games of the season. They get trophy for good sportsmanship. Everybody walks away from the trophy. So it's over here. The Gemara says that I'm not sure it's the best. It's like a lot, you know, I'm not sure it's the best. Kid has to learn how to lose sometimes. It's important. It's skill in life to learn how to lose, but another time in another place. Anyway, so over here, the child who made it first wins, and then he steps his brothers in also. So it sounds like.
So
we're going to have to figure out that. You must have to fine tune where that comes from exactly. But it sounds like the older brother does get the chelik. He does win. He does like that. So the Gemara sounds like that's a brain issue. Because when I shechted the korban, I didn't really know which one's going to get here first.
But it's a little fun event. It's not the same type of, it's not the same. The parallel doesn't work with Gittin. Gittin, I don't want to take it because of, but.
No, but here the father said, I'm here by Hindu Mukhabs been shefting for the guy who comes in first. So the mice, he didn't know who's coming in first. So Amalek, so Yehuda said back to Belshia, Hoshea Bri, he said, my son, I'm a little son, a figurative son, he said, Ma Indian Psacha makes a kid. It sounds like Henry's question. Okay, so it's a Henry B'nai, Ma Indian Psacha makes a kid. It's very, very different. Why is it different? It's my Allah, I'm going to be able to get his eyes in the mitzvahs. This whole case was a fake out. There was no race in the first place. Said the father really truly had in mind that all the sons, right? Only one son, what are the other sons going to do that night? No one should. The other sons aren't invited to the Seder. So the Emma says he wanted them all to come. He wanted Lazarus and B'mitzvahs. He wanted to get them to, he wanted to get them to run. Otherwise, the guy will take the 4:30 bus, you know, who missed the last bus, left to find the cab, you know. So he wanted to get people to move. Deacon Amir Gemara says, of course, the reason why this is good, this is undue with Breira. The father really had in mind all of them, and I'll prove to you. He schleps in all the other brothers. So if you're going to tell me that he didn't appoint all the sons, if you say that the father really had in mind to appoint all the sons, so then I understand why at the end of the day the other brothers could tag along. If the other brothers were never really appointed, if the guy, real the father, really meant truly just one of them, who said you're allowed to be appointed after the shechita? There's no way you could appoint somebody to be part of Korban Pesach. But today we learned in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says that you can only become join the Korban Pesach and only leave the Korban Pesach until shechita. After shechita, you're locked into that Korban Pesach. So obviously, this Mishnah has nothing to do with that topic. Because in this Mishnah, there was no barrier. There was no one person. It was really all of them. It was just a game to get them to come quickly. You're right, we have a rice that supports this idea that this was never really one versus the others. They were all accepted. One time it happened, catch this one. The girls got on time. What a great surprise. You know, the girls get all excited. You know, oh, wow, the father's making Pesach. We got to be here in time to help out. The sons, they were still playing ball. They were basically thrilled until they got into the shower, until they made it in time. So they, the nimtzu banos rizos ubanim shvelim. So when that happened, that one time when that story happened, so people said, oh, the daughter is there, it's rizos. They got on the, you know, they got to start. Whereas the boys, they were the shvelim, they were the low lives. They were the lazy guys. But Rashi, it doesn't say that the sons didn't eat that night. It doesn't say they didn't eat the korban. Of course they ate the korban. Just the father was mad at them. They were lazy. But at the end of the day, everyone ate, everyone kept the same. Everyone sang Manishtan together. Why? Because the father never really meant one in contrast to the other. So basically, this case of Mishnah Pesachim is totally, it's a nice story, but it's totally irrelevant to our discussion. Hopefully, in the next year, we have to go back to what is relevant to our discussion in terms of it.
Thank you.